Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Expecting. What does it mean to be expecting? Part of the definition is to look forward to, regard as likely to happen, anticipate the occurrence or the coming of, to look for with reason or justification, to suppose or surmise, to guess. And it also can mean to anticipate the birth of one's child normally, or to be expecting to be pregnant. One of the ways expecting gets flushed out and fleshed out pretty quick is in marriage. If you are thinking about being married, getting married, you have expectations. And you have something in your head, something that you think it's going to be like. And you think if there's any romance in your dating relationship, you think that's what it's going to be like. All these feelings, all this emotion, all this attention, all these things. This is what it's going to be like the rest of our lives together. And pretty quickly, unfortunately, in some cases, these expectations just go out the window. You have women who think there's going to be romance and men who think there's going to be physical intimacy. And all of a sudden, these two things collide and there's disappointment because our expectations are so high. And we thought it was going to be something. People have this same problem with becoming a Christian. They thought, well, okay, I watch people. Looks like your life's going to be better. So I was expecting that I would be born again. I would get my golden ticket to heaven. And then everything, like the guy on TV said, would come to pass. I'd be wealthy. I'd be healthy. I'd be happy. It would all go good. I wouldn't have any problems. And then all of a sudden, your expectations are shattered because they're unrealistic. Because even the book itself talks about suffering, tribulation, all these challenges that come our way. Go to Genesis chapter 17. We'll start left and go right as usual. So Genesis chapter 17, and if you'll notice the name of this guy, it says when Abram, you say, well, no, his name is Abraham. They've misspelled it. His name is not Abraham yet. His name will become Abraham pretty quick here, but his name is Abram. And it says when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Okay, so now all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, so dude, do you not, you know, whoever this is talking to me, I know it's God, but your math must not be great. I am 99 years old and you're talking about multiplying me exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. So he's throwing the word father out to a 99-year-old man. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, putting the sound of Yahweh, that God sound, in his name. So Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham now, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants, after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child from among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So literally this circumcision thing, you go, what the heck is that about? It is a physical mark of the covenant that God has made between himself and Abraham and then his people. Then God said to Abraham, and he's talked to Abraham, and he says, now for Sarai, her name was not Sarah, it was Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, same reason, shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples shall be from her. So he's talked to Abraham now, and he's told him all this, like, okay, whatever. Maybe I can pull this off, but now you're going to tell me it's with her? Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. So if you've this phrase, he just fell down laughing, here it is. And said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And you say, well, it said he's 99. Well, he ain't going to be 99 when the child is born, so he's already doing the math, right? I'm going to be 100 years old, even if God can pull this off, 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child, a 90-year-old woman? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Like, dude, this is not going to work. He had another son, Ishmael, by Hagar, his servant, kind of given up on his wife. So she gives the maidservant basically and says, here, have kids with her, and then we'll have kids. And now all of a sudden God shows them and says, no, you two. Now, their expectation, what they were expecting probably, and by having Ishmael, looks like they had given up, there is no hope. So sometimes our expectancy, our expectation is, there's no way. And God has a way of bringing things into our lives where there is no way unless he shows up. He creates a situation that is completely impossible. And our expectation without hope, without faith, is that this will never happen unless he's in it and he says he's going to perform it. So keep reading. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abram. Now, you say, well, then what happened? The obvious. You say, well, were they getting together anyway? I don't know. But when God gives you a promise like this, then you start trying. You say, but it's all God. It is all God, but he uses us. And sometimes, literally, a physical act is a demonstration of faith. Of saying, okay, God has said this promise. Now he's raised my expectation that a 99-year-old man with a 90-year-old woman, we're going to start trying to have a baby at a set time. You cannot have a baby at a set time unless you start trying before. And you say, well, these things are very obvious. Yes, they're very obvious, but sometimes this is exactly what God can't get us to do, the obvious. He says, here's what I want to do in your life, but you're going to have to do this part to bring it to pass. You say, well, what about Mary? That's a one-time deal. We'll get to her in a minute. Well, she got pregnant without doing anything. Only woman in history. Now go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought. Wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by insomuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the trees as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now you say, well, sure, he said it out loud. It's a promise God shows up and tells him, so he's got something to bank on. Even then, you'll see, look at her response. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Abraham's done this. Now she's laughing inside, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Not just have a baby, but is there like, are we going to re-engage in this way, find some pleasure, and on top of that, have a baby? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, what if God told you something and you're expecting nothing because you've been so discouraged and so defeated by expectation? You go, well, I'm not even going to expect anything from God. Just whatever I get, that's a blessing. But he comes along and screws your whole life up and says, I'm going to do this. Straight up, I'm telling you, either out loud or in your heart, I'm going to do this. And what do? A lot of times, we laugh within ourselves because it's not going to happen. It's not possible. So that's what she does. And then look what the Lord says to her. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely shall I bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can God promise something that he can't deliver on? It's not possible. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And if you keep reading the story, Sodom and Gomorrah happens. So on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, this happens. Go to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. You ought to underline stuff like that. The Lord visited Sarah as he said. So what does he do? He keeps his word. So you say, well, what are you talking about? How does this apply to me? When you read the scriptures and you open the Bible and it says something like, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you say, I see what it says. I feel left. I feel forsaken. This is not true. Just because you think or feel something does not negate what the scripture says. So he shows up. The Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And by the way, that little phrase is not by chance. The set time. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. That's what he was told to name him. Then Abraham, you know, by the way, does anybody know what the word Isaac means? Laughter. So they name this kid Laughter. So every time they speak his name, what are they reminded of? We laughed, but God delivered. He showed up. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. So God comes through. What do you expect from God? What do you expect him to do? What has he already done that you didn't even dream that was possible? He saved you. So think about this. If he bothered to come down here, be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die on a cross, be raised from the dead, and all of that was for what reason? You say, well, he was trying to save the animals. That's what he was trying to do. He's already done that. That whole ark thing was about saving 8 people and a planet full of animals. So he's demonstrated he cares about animals. But he died for you. He died for me. So if God is willing to send his son to live and die and be raised from the dead for me, then why would he stop there? And you can't even come up with him stopping there because the scripture is replete with everything that he wants to do beyond that, exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could ever think or ask. So your expectation may be so low because you don't want to be disappointed. Faith gives you the ability to have very high expectations of God and then look for him to show up. And stretch your little wineskin so that you go, oh, I can't take it anymore. I don't think that's possible. God is about the impossible. Christmas is about the impossible. Now go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, it is very fascinating to me. I'm about to read you a little bit of a story here, and the people that are the characters in this story know the story I just read you, okay? So you would think that people who come after, you say, well, but if I'm before the cross, if I'm before all these promises, then I don't, you know, I have no expectation. But if you come after these things, you should be able to say at some point, not if God can do these things, but since God has done these things, then this is possible now. I shouldn't have any question. So jump in at verse 1, Luke 1:1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So I'm writing it down, Theophilus, send this to you specifically so you'll know what happened. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Okay, so they're not just old. She is technically barren. She cannot have children. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." What was his prayer? What do you think his prayer was? "God, have mercy. And back in that day, in any day, my wife is barren. She can't have children. This is embarrassing. Where's the blessing of children?" So either he was still praying or had been praying, and then the angel says, "Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." You're going to have a baby. Your barren wife is going to have a baby with you, and you're going to name him John. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." This can't be possible. This is a priest. This is a godly man, righteous, just. He knows the story of Abraham. He knows these things are possible. And yet, what does he say? "How can I know this? How shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Verse 21, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out and could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived." Looks like they started trying. If they weren't already, they may have been together, but now you're together for a reason. "After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people.' Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she's troubled at his sayings and considered what manner of greeting this was." Like, wow, it's one thing to show up. Now you're telling me I'm blessed among women? "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid,'" which is what they always say, which I think is kind of nice because everybody's afraid. "'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son.'" No one conceives in their womb by themselves. and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel. Now you say, well, what about this question? Everybody else had questions. It got a consequence. Why does she not get a consequence? How can this be since I do not know a man? Obviously, this is an okay question because what's about to happen to her has never happened before, never happened since, will never happen again. She's about to give birth to a baby as a virgin. And how is that even possible? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. If you need some encouragement, your old family cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. And this is now the sixth month for her whom was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. If you're comfortable underlining things, underline that. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Every once in a while, I meet somebody who's not a Christian. And I go, I don't see this happening. You say, well, why would you say that? Just some people just look too far gone. And then God says, don't see them the way you see them. See them the way I see them. You say, but they're living like hell. Like, well, everybody was living like hell. What could he do if we just let him be God? What is possible? It says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Go to Luke chapter 2. So we jump ahead. Jesus has been born. Verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, which is a very interesting thing in itself. The Lord is being presented to the Lord. As it is written in the law of Moses, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And if you go look at what was brought, poor people brought this. So this indicates they didn't have a lot. They brought what they had, pair of turtle doves, 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man. Now look at this piece of the story. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Now look at what God had told this man. That he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, the Holy Spirit leads him into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying. Now you say, well, how would he know this? I'm thinking if you held Jesus in your arms, you'd know he was Jesus. So he takes this baby in his arms and look what he says. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The promise was, and he could die in peace. I don't know when he died, but he could die in peace because God delivered on his promise. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, the child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I encourage you to raise your expectation of what God can do, and allow for him to have high expectations of what you can do, because all things are possible. What is he trying to do through your life? You say, yeah, I kind of hear what you're saying. It's like God promised me something when I was a kid. God said something along the way that he'd be with me. He'd never forsake me. Back to that one. That I could trust him, that he loved me. Then let him be those things. Those are not lofty, faulty expectations. Those are real. And he is who he says he is.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.